I want my last check that I ever write to bounce. These were the words of the billionaire philanthropist Charles Fenney, who began secretly giving his money away in 1984. His goal was to make a difference in the world whilst he was alive. By 2016, he'd given away more than £8 billion to charitable organisations. His impact and example made others such as Bill and Linda Gates set up their own charitable foundation. They have given over £16 billion to charitable causes. Linda Gates said this once, "From those to whom much is given, much is expected." Andrew Carnegie was another American. It's all American examples today. He lived for 83 years, died in 1919, began his life picking cotton for $1.20 a week. He became one of the wealthiest men in the United States. He invested in railroads, in steel. The Carnegie Hall was built in his honor. He paid for it. The Carnegie Mellon University, ditto. And he built another 3,000 university libraries around the world. His philosophy, he said this once, "Man does not live by bread alone. The man who dies rich dies in disgrace." He gave around $4.5 billion. This Lent, we're thinking about spiritual practices. Last week, we thought about simplicity. And today, we're thinking about a similar, an allied, really, thought or practice, that of generosity. But generosity isn't just about what you keep or give away from your bank account. It's about what's in your heart. So let's pray together that God would speak to our hearts about this important subject of generosity. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of us today. Amen. So why should we give? Why should we be generous? I want to draw your attention to a verse in chapter 8 and verse 9, which I think perhaps gives us the most important spur for generosity. Chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus, who was in heaven with God, in the riches of heaven, came down to earth to be born in a stable, to live as an ordinary human being, to live a simple life, to live a life as an adult where he rarely had a place to put his head. A man who lived without possessions. A man who exchanged the glory of heaven for earth. A man who eventually was killed on a cross, dying in our place so that we could be forgiven. And that we could have the riches of heaven, the forgiveness of God, the relationship with God himself. And that was the transaction that Paul is talking about. He became poor so that we could become rich. That, I suggest to you, is why we should be generous. Because God has been generous to us. We give simply as a response. We give back for all that we've been given. Now, this service today is sometimes called a Eucharist. Well, Eucharist simply means thanksgiving. So we're here today to gather, to give thanks for that great act of Jesus dying on the cross for us. And later in the service, if you have a look at your order of service, when we take up the offertory, this prayer is said, Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give back to you. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that everything we have is from God? If we get the truth of that, it will shape us as people. It will shape us into people who are generous-hearted towards God and towards others. We shouldn't be giving from a sense of guilt, but from the heart, as Paul says in chapter 9 and verse 7. Just have a look at it with me. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All of this is about trust. Where do we believe that our skills, our talents, our money have come from? Are they simply as a result of our hard work, or are they a gift from God? If we believe they're a gift from God, we'll want to give back, because we know that they don't actually belong to us. Take that seed that's in your hand, or those seeds. They've been given to you. There's no way you could have created them. They are a gift. All the way through these verses, we're told that God gives. He gives generously because he loves us. Now take the seeds again. What is the purpose of them? Well, if you sow these seeds, you will be able to reap a harvest from what grows from them. Now there are a number of things you can do with these seeds. You could keep them, store them away in the dark until you need them. Or you could sow a few and keep a few back. Or you could sow the lot and see what happens. In verse 6 of chapter 9, we have a comparison of attitudes. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If you've experienced blessing from God, if you've experienced blessing from him, then I commend to you giving back. Giving back to him, to others. If you haven't received any blessing from God, then no one could expect you to give in any other way than out of a sense of duty, or even worse, out of a sense of guilt. If you haven't experienced any blessings from God, then don't give. God loves a cheerful giver, not one who's doing it out of compulsion or guilt. But if you have received blessings from God, Paul says, give. Give. Perhaps you're thinking, I'm not sure if I have received any blessings from God. Well, all the way through the Bible, God reminds us that we need to pause and just take stock of the things that we do have. And there's that lovely old hymn, isn't there? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. As I said before, it all comes back to trust. If we trust God, and if more than that, we trust that he's good, he's going to provide for us for the long term, because he's provided for us in the past, because we've been blessed in the past, then we will be able to be generous to other people and to God. And that generosity isn't just about money. It's about other precious things. Things like time. Things like talents. Things like compassion. Anything that costs us something is generosity. But we need to decide what we're going to give as we give ourselves. whether it be in effort or time or talents or compassion. But the point at heart is not so much how much we give, but that we give as freely as possible, knowing that the return on what we give will be in kind. Not necessarily in money, but in depth and in extent. That's what it says in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. This is a promise that God will sustain us. Not necessarily financially, but that we will be enriched by Him. And giving makes us feel good, doesn't it? Giving to other people of our time, our talents, our money, it makes us feel good. And that's okay. It's okay to feel good about giving. Before Christmas, I was given some money that I wasn't expecting. And I was able to share that with two folk that I knew needed some help at that particular time. And it made me feel good. And that's okay. I think that was one of the blessings in return. So it isn't so much about how much, but it's about giving as freely as possible. At the same time, before we decide how much we can give, whether it's of time or especially money, we need to know and decide how much we can live on ourselves. That's part about budgeting, and obviously it's important to budget, but it's also about having a sense of inner contentment. In verse 8, God tells us that He will make sure that we have all that we need. Do you see that? Not necessarily all that we want, but all that we need. Now, in the Greek era that Paul was writing to, the Greek word meant, that word meant having enough to live on, and that giving us contentment. But the world that Paul was writing to, the Greek world, was a world that was full of a quest for self-sufficiency. They wanted to reduce their dependence on other people. And the contrast that Paul was saying is that for Christian people, contentment doesn't necessarily come from having a full bank account, but from knowing that God will ultimately provide all that you need. And that will lead you to be able to do every good work, to be a blessing to others. And maybe some of those needs will be provided by other people, other Christians. As we don't live our lives as independent people, but people who are interdependent. This is very countercultural, but it's something that Paul advocates. One instance from the Gospels will hopefully help us to see what he meant and what Jesus meant about someone who'd grasped the truth of this contentment. Mark chapter 12 says this: Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. No pressure then. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Jesus called the disciples over and used this as a teaching moment for them. He said, "I tell you the truth, that poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." How so? Well, they gave out of their wealth, and they probably didn't even notice it. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. The result of such generosity is, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, people will praise God as they see the generosity of one Christian to another. That's the world around. We'll praise God as it sees our generosity. Those who we bless will go on to pray for us, we're told. It was great when I was able to give that money at Christmas and to have a response from both people to say thank you and we're praying for you. And I'm sure that's happened to many of us as we have given generously to others. So this week I encourage you to think about what it means to live generously. Maybe take some time each day just to write down some of the ways that God has blessed you, has been generous to you. Think about someone in your life who's been generous to you and what it is about them that's special and perhaps that you could copy. And perhaps consider somebody in your life who today could benefit from your generosity. And think about how you can demonstrate that to them. So let's just sit quietly for a moment and think about how we ourselves can be even more generous than we are at this time.